Every day the Diocese of Lafayette puts out a list of names of a priest, a deacon, a religious, and a seminarian to be prayed for, and this past Friday was my turn to be on there. So it was on our parish Facebook page as well as that of the Diocese of Lafayette, and it was brought to my attention that lots and lots of people had left all sorts of wonderful comments and offerings of prayers, which I want to thank you for. So either you were just being very kind, or I've got you very fooled, one of the two. But I do want to thank you all very much for your kindness and for your prayers, and know that I pray for all of you in turn each and every day. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans that whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Whatever we do is always meant to be done for the Lord and is Christ himself working in us. Our lives are so intertwined with Christ in his death and resurrection, as he says, that we're actually baptized into his death to live the life of Christ in our everyday lives. So in effect, just as Jesus still has the wounds of the crucifixion in his risen and glorified body, and as Christ is always offering himself as a sacrifice for the entire world, on behalf of the world to the Father, so you and I, as members of his body, the church, are called to offer ourselves up with him as a living sacrifice. As St. Paul said today in Colossians, he is always suffering, rejoicing in his sufferings, as in his flesh he is filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. That does not mean that the sacrifice of Christ is insufficient. Far from that, it certainly is. But what it does mean is that the whole body of Christ needs the graces that come from Christ's sacrifice. Therefore, it's up to you and me to continue offering up our prayers, our sacrifices, our offerings, our sufferings, our example, anything for those who are baptized who have left the church, those who are not yet baptized that are being called into the church, for all of those being called by Christ into that life of grace and perfection. St. Paul says he is a minister of it in accordance with God's stewardship, and so are we, according to our own vocations, our lives, everything being offered to Christ as a great sacrifice. As we do that, as Christ begins to fill up our own hearts, our minds, our souls, his presence is in our very lives, then it becomes Jesus himself, as St. Paul says, who we proclaim, or should be proclaiming. We're always proclaiming Christ, always seeking to present ourselves as perfect or working toward perfection in Christ, knowing that while we may never be perfect in this world, we're always striving for that. As St. John the Baptist would say, that we would decrease while Christ increases, and we encourage others to do likewise. Psalm 15 is a beautiful example of what that means, to walk in righteousness, to walk as a living Christ, if you will. The psalm begins by the psalmist asking the question, Lord, who will be admitted into your tent? Who will dwell in your holy mountain? In effect, who will live in your presence forever? And the Lord answers with this, the one who walks without blame, that is, walking, striving for perfection, that perfect charity, perfect love of God, perfect love of others, and does what is right and true, what is righteous and good, who does justice. A person who speaks the truth in his heart and slanders not with his tongue. Therefore, truth should always be in our hearts and our minds, as well as in our mouths and our actions. The one who does no harm to his fellow man. Obviously, we should always be seeking to do good for others rather than to do evil, and take no reproach against our neighbor, but to forgive our neighbor instead. And this is an interesting one. By whom the reprobate is despised. And that goes back to what Jesus says, isn't it? Blessed are you when people hate you and curse you and say all manner of evil against you because of me. So if other people hate us because we're trying to live the Christian life, that is meant to be expected, and Jesus says, blessed are you for that. So to be despised by the reprobate is actually a compliment. But in turn, we honor those who fear the Lord. And not only do we honor those who fear the Lord, but we try to imitate them as well and be honorable ourselves. Who lends not his money at usury, that is, at interest, expecting something back. But Jesus wants us to be generous in what we have, in doing for others, whether it be our time, our talent, or our treasure. Accepting no bribe or no lies against the innocent. The one who does these things, God says, shall never be disturbed. This should be our lives. Doing justice and living always in the presence of the Lord and letting the presence of the Lord live within us as well. God is love, and love brings unity. Unity brings peace. Sadly, our world today almost thrives on divisiveness, thrives on hatred and dissension, animosity. It's rampant everywhere. It's almost as though you don't have anything as trying to see the other person's point of view anymore. No one seems to try to understand the other person, even if there is a disagreement. We have very little sense of honor, little sense of respect. Those two virtues, honor and respect, have gone by the wayside. And they're defined as such. Honor is seen to have a high regard, a good reputation, integrity, and chastity. To have a sense of honor about oneself is certainly a worthy thing. Is it good to have a high regard for yourself? Well, of course it is. Not to the exclusion of God or others, but to always see the fact that, number one, we are made in God's image and likeness. We were created by God to be good, created to be saints. And we should never forget that. Not to have a false humility, but a proper sense of humility, saying that whatever good I am, it's always because of God who has made me so. In that, to strive to have a good reputation and to encourage the reputation of others as being good. To have a sense of integrity, not being duplicitous, not saying one thing and doing another, but to be who we truly are supposed to be, as I said, living saints, being Christians, striving for that. And with that, a sense of chastity, of having self-control and honoring our bodies and honoring others as well. A sense of honor is sorely needed today. A sense of honor is a way that the Christian sees himself and herself as well as others. Honor always leads to respect, having that same esteem of others as we would have for ourselves, to have a consideration for them, to listen to them, to try to understand them, and to help them. In a word, it's having a very sacred sense about persons and things. It's noticing the presence of God in oneself, as well as the presence of God in others, noting the presence of God in creation, of all things that are of God, and respecting it as such. It's noticing the presence of God and living in the presence of God. That brings about self-respect. That brings about a sense of honor. As we all know, a sense of respect for others will lead us to honor them. Point in case, the fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Why should we honor them? Because we respect them. Why do we respect them? Because God gave us life through them. And parents should always be there to give an example to their children of what it means to live as Christians, as full Christians. Ultimately, we're not only to love or fear God, which we certainly should, but also respect Him, to honor Him, and in that respect and honor, to worship God. God, after all, is first. In the beginning, God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is our beginning and our end. And how you and I respect the Lord is the guiding point, if you would, of our honor and respect for others. We love Him first. There's no way we can love ourselves or other people if God Himself is not first. And so we come to Martha and Mary. You see in Martha and Mary beautiful examples of the active and contemplative life, two sides of the same coin, but one is more important than the other. You have Jesus coming to visit the home of Martha and Mary, just as the three gentlemen who had visited Abraham in the first reading are traditionally understood to be the Holy Trinity. So as God comes to visit with Abraham, so God in the flesh comes to the house of Martha and Mary. Martha, of course, is burdened with serving, and she's running around taking all kinds of different things, and she gets kind of peeved because there's her sister just sitting down, soaking in everything about Jesus, hanging on every word, and just being enraptured by His presence. And she says, "Lord, don't you even care that my sister has left me by myself to do all of this work?" And He says to her, as He could say to many of us, "You are anxious and worried about so many things. There is need only of one thing. And Mary has chosen the better part, and this will not be taken from her." He does not say that Martha's work is unimportant. The work of hospitality certainly is, of treating others with respect, serving them. But what's the origin? Where does it come from, if it doesn't come from Christ Himself, who dwells within and lives within? That contemplative life, that life of longing for God, spending time with God, listening to God, being in the presence of God, gives meaning and purpose to our action. Contemplation should always lead to action. That life of grace, that life and grace. It gives us direction. It's little wonder then why in this day and age there is so little love and respect for one another. There's little love and respect for Christ. Be rooted in Christ. Be filled with Christ. Be transformed by Christ. Then our lives be filled with love and respect and honor for one another. Our interior lives and our exterior lives must complement one another, never be opposed to one another. Sadly, so many times we try to look very Catholic on the outside, but our behavior is very unchristian, and we shouldn't. We cannot merely look Catholic while behaving in an unchristian manner. To always be filled with the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ, to speak, to live, and to act always as Christ. Mercy that's given is mercy that's gained. Respect that is given is respect that is gained. Honor that is given is honor that is gained. And love that is given is love that is gained. As Jesus tells us, blessed are they who have kept the word with a generous heart and yield a harvest through perseverance. May we persevere always in this: generosity, honor, love, respect, a life of prayer and action rooted in Christ. He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord.